This is Trackside with Kurt Cavan and Kevin Lee.
The enterprising city of Indianapolis played a major part in the early history of the automobile and was listed as the nation's second largest manufacturer of passenger cars. In Indiana, 250 different makes were produced, with 64 of these being assembled in the Indianapolis area alone. An energetic businessman named Carl Fisher owned the very first car in Indianapolis before the turn of the century. He hit upon the idea of building a huge oval-shaped track 6 miles from downtown to be utilized as a proving ground. He reasoned that firms from all over the nation could test their products in racing, and admission charges would make the track a paying proposition. The sprawling Presley Farm, used for growing corn in the Hoosier heartland, was bought by Fisher and several associates in early 1909. And a 2.5 mile racetrack, surfaced with crushed rock and tar, took shape by midsummer. Balloon and motorcycle races preceded an accident-marred 3-day racing meet in August, after which time the track was shut down. 3,200,000 bricks were laid by December 1909 to make it smoother and safer. Short races were run through 1910, but the crowds began to dwindle. Fisher and his partners came up with a plan to stage one major event on Memorial Day, May 30, 1911. The distance of 500 miles was determined, since the race would take about 7 hours and there would still be time for spectators to get to Indianapolis and back home again before dark. 75,000 fans turned out for the dawn-to-dusk extravaganza. Ray Haroon, design engineer for the Marmon Passenger Car Company, won that first race at a speed of almost 75 miles an hour.
How cool is that? The month of May is in full swing as we work our way towards the 101st Indianapolis 500, and the original voice of the 500, Sid Collins, with something David just found in the archives here at WIBC 1070 The Fan.
We have a ton of archives. FM. We have a ton of archives.
Yep.
I could do a different intro a day again with all the archives we
need.
Have.
We need to do that. We look forward to that throughout the month of May. Hello, thank you for joining us, Trackside, on 107.5 1070 The Fan from the drivehubler.com studios in downtown Indianapolis. I'm Kevin Lee. That's David Deering. He's our studio producer. Kurt Cavan will be here in just a matter of moments. We have some news to get to throughout the day, but we operate at a more leisurely pace throughout the month of May, which is fantastic. We have a chance to get into some different things, answer your questions, and we will do that much of the program tonight. Nothing earth-shattering going on. Some things confirmed today that we expected, so we'll try to answer as many Twitter questions as we can. One guest is scheduled for a little bit. My friend Anders Krohn, one of my partners at NBCSN, will be on in a little bit. And we have two things to talk with Anders about, and that's one of the news items of the day that we can discuss that Anders has direct involvement in. But I just finished up a great event that Anders has done for the last couple of years, hosting for kids that have some developmental issues, and how horses can actually help kids learn how to move and function and walk better. It didn't make sense to me that much when it was first explained to me, but when you see it, this was my second year there, it makes perfect sense, and it's a fantastic program, and it's a way for the kids to get occupational therapy without actually thinking they're working at something. They're playing, and it's called TheraPlay. And there were, I'm going to say a dozen drivers or so that were there today. Tony Stewart was there. It was a lot of fun. So we did that this afternoon. And one of the news items of the day, Anders can directly speak to. Anders handles the management for Stefan Wilson. And obviously they had a lot to do with making the Fernando Alonso deal happen. And it was at the detriment of Stefan's ride for the 500. So nice work today by the Indianapolis Motor Speedway to heavily involve one of the things that Stefan and Anders have been heavily involved with, and that's the Indiana Donor Network's Driven to Save Lives campaign that Brian Clausen's family has been involved in as well. So we'll talk with Anders about how all this came down and what's next for Stefan. We've had a lot of questions about, well, why doesn't he just take Why didn't he just try to move over to one of those Chevy rides that was still available at the time? So we'll get into that. Now, one of those Chevy rides is done and confirmed. The report came out yesterday from Racer.com, and we had been hearing this for a while, but you never know until it's all buttoned up, and Spencer Pigot has been confirmed for the number 11 car. Good-looking paint scheme in this car, too, for Juncos Racing, and it's also the debut for Ricardo Juncos' team, who has, we've talked to Ricardo before. It's just a fantastic story. He came to America from Argentina with literally $300 in his pocket, and I think he had to spend that money to get up and going, and he started as a go-kart mechanic, and then owned his own go-kart team, which Spencer actually drove for a dozen or so years ago. Got into the junior formula categories, won championships there. Connor Daly was, I think, his first champion in Pro Mazda back in 2010, and now is moving into IndyCar and starting with the Indianapolis 500. So it's just a fantastic story. And Spencer drove for him in Pro Mazda, won championships there and in Indy Lights. And kudos to Ed Carpenter, too, for allowing his driver to move to another team for just the 500. Spencer will drive for Ed's team again in the 20 Fuzzies Vodka car this weekend in the IndyCar GP, and then he'll slide over to another Chevy operation. I don't know if they actually officially announced it as a Chevy operation, but it will be. Honda is full, so that, if it's not come out, will come out in the near future. Oceanfront Recovery is the sponsor through Rising Star Racing, which has done a lot for Spencer and some other guys as well. So good to hear that. Didn't get any confirmation for Sebastian Saavedra today, but the report was that might come as soon as tomorrow. And if it is done, then I think this makes sense just to spread them out today, get them both as much bang as they can in the news cycle. So that's one note. Let's see, one other thing we had today. Pace car driver, big deal for Indianapolis people, maybe not so much nationally, but this is not the first time. What was it, last year that Pat McAfee drove the pace car for this race?
Yeah.
The Colts Pro Bowl punter, who has since retired to become a stand-up comic, podcast host. Who knows that podcast host could be a full-time job?
Must be nice.
I don't think we're making enough revenue off our podcast to make that our full-time job, but Pat has a unique talent, and he's got a big following. Well, now it's Robert Mathis, who is a six-time Pro Bowler with the Indianapolis Colts, who retired. And I like Robert a lot. I'm not going to say I know Robert really well. I was just one of the guys kind of hanging around and speaking to Robert. And he kind of came into his own as far as a leader later into his career. But I have always had a huge amount of respect for the way Robert Mathis comported himself, the way he dealt with people, the way he led his teammates. And I like the fact that he was a true Indianapolis sports fan.
I've seen him at many Pacers games.
Yeah, and he's not wearing a LeBron jersey. He's wearing a Pacers jersey sitting over there. So good guy. He'll have fun this weekend. So that's cool on that front. Now, meanwhile, anything you have for us? I'm just going to jump into Twitter right off the beginning and do what we can. And go from now to backwards. And, David says the Pigot car does have the Chevy logo. So I don't remember seeing that or in the release. And I even saw Ricardo say recently, well, we can't confirm yet what the manufacturer is.
If you check
his
Twitter, Spencer tweeted out a photo of the car, and it has a Chevy logo next to the number.
Well, we know it has to be a Chevy.
Right,
because
exactly.
Honda's full. Barry asks, is Honda no longer doing the Ride with Honda contest for the two-seater ride at the start of races? They're not doing an official contest. That's a marketing thing, and Honda is still spending money in IndyCar. They're just spending it in a different way. When you have a marketing platform or program, you do one thing for a while, and then eventually you move on to something else. You know, for an example, they're still advertising on this show. Kurt and I just recorded some commercials the other day that are running heavily in this show, and those are just taking the place of the ShopWithHonda.com contest. So they're still spending money in IndyCar racing just as much. They just have a new ad campaign as well. John Day says, less than 3 weeks to the 500 and no hint of a new pace car driver. No hint of news of a pace car driver. Did their first choice fall through? Why the delay? This isn't that unique. This happens often, and we've talked about this before. There are several possibilities They could know who it is, and they just simply want to wait until they get closer. They could have finalized it, but let's wait, and you want to spread out your news and pick a time when that person can be here and do media, you know, and they'll probably coincide the announcement, or at least they might, with when that person can get here and do some pace car training and so forth. Now, a second option is they've got like a dream list of candidates, and sometimes you'll say and make an offer to someone, and they don't tell you no, they give you a maybe, and I'm not sure yet because I'm filming, and I'm not sure what my filming schedule is, or I'm in the playoffs, you know, whatever. So you hold out as long as you can, and then you have a second option, a third option, and so forth. So that's always a possibility as well.
For example, last year, Chris Pine, who was is an actor, was in the Star Trek movie. He was announced 10 days before the race.
There you go. There you go. And you never know who they're always targeting, and it's more than just the Speedway. It's going to be Chevrolet involved. I don't know if ABC would get a say in this or not. But
maybe if there's an upcoming Disney movie that they want to hype up.
Yeah.
So maybe Johnny Depp, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay, I'll let you throw that one out
there. I'm throwing that one out there.
I don't see Johnny Depp doing this. I don't know. But I saw something, what he showed up at Disney wearing the costume recently on the ride and just kind of surprised people.
Shows up at a lot of hospitals and does that too.
Does he? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. All right, what else? We've got some questions for Donald. Remember, questions for Donald, better to email because they'll get lost in the Twitter shuffle. I can't guarantee that those will happen, and we do most of those on a specific night. Kurt might know the answer to that question. I don't know that one. Jim says, what's the latest total car count for the 500 entry list? It's basically 33. I take that back. It's basically 32 because we have not gotten a confirmation yet for the second Junco's car. To be honest, I don't know if we have official confirmation of the Lazier car, but everything I've heard says that Buddy Lazier is going to enter. And since we're not hearing of any other team, and that's the thing, there are no other teams that want to enter another car or have the budget to do so. So that means the Lazier entry would be safe. If another team decided to throw out a backup car, then unfortunately for Buddy, they would very unlikely have enough speed to be able to make it. But I just don't expect that to happen. And, you know, I know it's not what everybody wants, but I'll say this too. I don't get very excited about a 34th car, just bumping one guy. It doesn't do a whole lot for me. If we can get to 35, then I think that becomes a little bit more interesting. And the way to do that, obviously, is to increase the purse to make it, is one way to do it at least, is to increase the purse to make it more of a guarantee of just making the race. But if you're the Speedway, I'm not sure that increasing it, because it would take a significant amount to do that. So you're going to spend an awful lot of money for qualifying day. Are you going to get a return on investment for that? Emotionally, yes, we'd be more interested, but are you going to make your money back? You're probably not. Now, could you get high-profile teams from other series to come in with a higher purse? Maybe. That might make it worth your while to do that and impact the race weekend as well. So while qualifying is not what it once was, and it's not going to be what it once was unless we're talking about new track records. And unfortunately, Tom Carnegie has passed away. That is something that had an awful lot to do with our enjoyment of qualifying days. And Tom cannot be replicated. That's just the way it is. Tom invented that entertainment factor that was involved with that. But all of that said, the race is still as big as it ever has been. 350,000 people last year, thinking 300,000 again this year. It might sell out, maybe. Just coming close is significant enough. More of your questions to come. Kurt will be here in a moment. And plenty more on the way, including your tweets at KevinLee23. It's race week. The road course is this weekend, Saturday afternoon, and it's trackside on 107.5 1070 The Fan.
This is Eli Castroneves. You are listening to Trackside with Kirk Kevin and Kevin Lee on 1070 The Fan.
We were knocking off new speed records all the time, and that was what was Interesting. 100, 150, 200. Those were amazing accomplishments. The ones that did that were brave, and it was fun to see that. And so when you went to qualifying, you could see a new track record before the day was over. And you don't see that now.
Ask and you shall receive. Tom Carnegie explaining some things there. And regardless of where we go from here, we've heard from Sid Collins and Tom Carnegie on this program. So I would call it a winning environment tonight. That's David Deering, who took care of that. I'm Kevin Lee. Kurt Cavan is here with us, who had a longer pit stop than expected.
Well, I don't know what you talked about because I was busy changing, helping to change a tire. I set the.
I didn't mention any of your issues.
So I left the office 6:20. Had plenty of time. Taking my time coming across 16th Street. I saw him in my lane on 16th Street on the what would be the south side of the far south lane, and there are two large potholes. And I thought I could dodge them, but I had a car on my left, and so it was go over one of them. I chose the one that seemed the smallest and didn't seem to matter. It blew out the right front. And the Accords have a really low profile, really sporty. I mean, it's a good-looking car, but the problem is there's no flexibility for the tire. I mean, it's just a different, you know, it's a sporty tire. And so those things happen when you hit a big pothole. But so I got everything out. I was ready to change it, and I thought maybe I better check with the company to make sure, I mean, it's their vehicle, that I do this in the manner they want, as opposed to maybe calling a service or something. And so Vince Kramer was down at the office, bless his heart. He hadn't changed a tire since 07 at Long Beach, he said, when he was doing one of the HVM drivers.
So how about this guy? He has a flat tire on the road, and he gets an IndyCar mechanic to come out and take care of it.
So he even brought me gloves. And so I had loosened everything up and got it all ready, but he just zip, 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 and away we go. So that's the way to do it. But now I got to deal with getting a new tire tomorrow. So here on the eve of the race, this is, you know, or at least close to it, this one thing I got to deal with. So maybe a little late to the comp and ops meeting tomorrow.
Okay. So we'll continue our conversation. I'm just kind of rolling through Twitter questions tonight, and we'll
see. I missed much of your intro. I did hear
it was fantastic.
You missed the intro, but got the Twitter questions. And I got to say, I've heard Carnegie's voice in the last, you know, obviously several years, but we've played it on back-to-back nights, or I've heard him on back-to-back nights, and it's really kind of made me, you know, kind of somber just a little bit. I love that man. He very much resembled my grandfather, and so he looked like him. My grandfather didn't sound like that, obviously, but he looked like him, built like him, and so that was good to hear his voice.
Yep, no doubt. Davis Racing 322 asks, has the black and rusty octagon leaderboards at the north and south end of the infield, do they serve a purpose other than shade in 2017? Do you know if those are still operational?
I don't know if they're operational. I don't think, but thinking back to last year, I'm not sure they were operational last year either. They provide, I can't really speak to it, but I will check into it, look into it when I'm out there tomorrow.
Waiting for Indy. If a race is added to the IndyCar schedule, going back to our conversation from last night about some reports of potential destinations for possibly as soon as next season, if a race is added, how does car sponsorship work? Does the sponsor give more money, or is the owner stuck with new bill? That's a good question.
Well, that's largely the point you were alluding to last night, is that the team goes out and secures sponsorship just like your go-kart team. You're trying to amass as much as you can, and then you figure out what your expenses are. And each race comes with a cost because you got travel and per diems and tires and all kinds of things. And the engine lease program would obviously change versus the number of races, up or down. So to your point, It is a difficult thing on a team just to add a race. You just don't go adding a race. Like last year at Texas, that was a costly thing for the teams to basically go to Texas once, have it rained out, have to take everybody home. That's just an extra expense to the line item. So, no, the sponsor wouldn't necessarily say, we'll give you so much per race, they would say, we're going to give you X million dollars or X hundred thousand dollars, and you do with it as you choose.
You know, it can factor into it as you're selling sponsorship. If you're selling sponsorship and your season is 8 races long, you have a better chance of asking them for more money. If you're saying, no, you're getting exposure for 17 races. But the difference between 17 to 18, yeah, you're just getting as much as you can out of them. Maybe you can charge them a little bit more.
Well, you're showing them a return on investment, and if you're giving them an extra market that's important to them, then that adds value to it as well. But my point was, if you just add a race in the middle of the season, your budget's already set.
Oh, sure.
And so I was kind of using that as the focal point. But then, you know, as you add a race into next season, at least you go into this knowing, you know, there's going to be an extra race. We need to factor that into the equation.
IndyCar Greg asks, I guess this would be more for Kurt. There was some trouble with Gateway. Are there any concerns or worries?
No, I don't think so. I mean, first of all, it's several months away, and you got planning. That's why you have a test. The tires you were seeing how far you could go, and probably they'll make. I would assume they make some adjustments. It's a delicate balance with this tire selection for a racetrack, because you don't want them to be so good, so durable that the performance never changes.
Isn't that amazing? We hear drivers sometimes say, you know, the tires are actually too good.
Yeah. So you've got these issues of balance. You don't want them to fail, because that looks bad on Firestone. And you don't want them to be too good, because that fails on the race, because everybody's pretty close. So if you have a race like Phoenix, where everybody's really competitive with one another and there's no variances based on the equipment, i.e. the tires, then you've got people running the same speeds all the time. So that's the challenge and the balance that Firestone is in. But, you know, they make a great tire, and I'm sure they'll have the right compound for that race.
Yeah,
they just hadn't been there in a full field test, in 14 years.
I don't have that much concern about that. And I had another question that we may or may not get to asking, is the racing going to be processional like Phoenix was? And I've talked to a couple of drivers, and he said, oh, no. It's got a longer straightaway. We were passing people in practice. Expect this to be a good race. So that's the early word. I'll ask some more people this weekend. But so far, what I'm hearing is that they expect this to be very, very different from what we saw at Phoenix, and a lot more opportunities.
I think so.
So good stuff. All right. As mentioned, we're going to talk to Anders Krohn about his event today, and also what was announced as far as a partnership involving Stephen Wilson and Brian Clausen's family, Justin Wilson's family, much more on that coming up in a moment. Trackside 107.5 1070 The Fan.
This is Joseph Newgarden, and you're listening to Trackside with Kurt Cavan and Kevin Lee on 1070 The Fan.
And 107.5 FM. Thanks for joining us. As I mentioned at the top of the show, a lot of fun today. Really good event for a really good cause. And our friend Anders Krohn, who is my co-host on Indy Lights telecasts on NBCSN, a former Indy Lights driver, a Pro Mazda race winner, joins us. He helped put together something today called the Horsepower 500 with Children's TheraPlay. I touched on it a little bit. We talked to you last year, but just kind of remind us again of what this does with kids with some developmental challenges and that need to use occupational therapy.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on the show, Kevin. I mean, it was a great event. Last year we had about 200 people. This year we had roughly 600 people. And what it is the Children's TheraPlay Foundation do physical and occupational therapy as well as hippotherapy for kids, like you said, that have disabilities or have had traumatic brain injuries or what have you. Kids that have been dealt a bad card in life, really. Mm-hmm. And they're ranging from 18 months old to 13 years of age. And they use a lot of horses. So we were kind of wondering a couple of years ago, how do we incorporate the horses that we use at the Children's TheraPlay Foundation with the actual horsepower at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway? So we came up with the Horsepower 500, which was to put a bunch of Indy 500 racers, including, well, yourselves and Katie Hargett as well, and putting them on trikes and seeing how they fared, teamed up with one of the kids from Children's TheraPlay. So What a unique concept, and let me tell you, man, today absolutely blew me away.
Great turnout, great event. Pretty cool to have Tony Stewart there supporting it as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and the fact that he comes out, and he's been a supporter of the Children's Theraplay Foundation for a long time with his own foundation, but the fact that he came out to wave the green flag for every single heat and the final, and the fact that he stuck around till the bitter end just shows his commitment to the cause as well. So, that was incredible.
Yeah, he was there posing for pictures with people after it was over, autographs, that kind of thing. So Jay Howard won the event. He was very impressive. What happened to the trike that Hinch and I had? I thought it was just my inability to do this, but then he hopped on and was just as bad. Were we sabotaged?
I don't know if sabotaged is the right word, but there appeared to have been some clutch slippage issues for that particular trike. So we obviously, it's such a fast format at the Horsepower 500 that we don't really have a lot of time to digest this information with our trackside engineers. But there seemed to be something a little bit off with that, because Hinch was way off the pace, and so were you, obviously.
Well, it was great. It was a lot of fun. You had, a dozen different drivers there. And fun was had by all, and most importantly, the kids had fun. Tyson was my little guy, and he was a lot of fun to hang out with for a couple of hours. And I just, as you said, kids that have been dealt a tough break, they don't know that they're doing occupational therapy. They're just playing, and that's the whole idea behind it. If someone wants to donate or get involved, what's the best way they can do to help the Children's Theraplay Foundation?
Well, the best way is to go online to the Children's Theraplay Foundation website, childrenstheraplay.org. You can do that, or if you're wanting to volunteer, they always need people, the sidewalkers with the horses are working in the stalls. So there's a number of ways that people can get involved, even just a small donation, anything really helps. And it's a fantastic cause. I mean, I think that the separator between this foundation and other, therapy things are that this really is the highlight of the week of these kids that come in. It's not your typical go to the hospital and you hate every moment of it. This is the favorite moment of the week for these kids, and, yep. And I think that's why you're seeing so many kids that have zero prognosis of ever walking when they first come in at 18 months old, and suddenly, at 25 months old, that they're running. So I think that is the big differentiator and the reason why myself and so many others have become involved.
And if you want to find a link to it, if you go to my Twitter, I retweeted something. At KevinLee23, you'll find their Twitter handle, and you can get the website and so forth. So your appearance tonight is going to be twofold. There was a press conference this morning at the Speedway at 10 a.m. for an announcement, and some may not know, you actually have served as a manager for Stephen Wilson for the last couple of years, and the two of you have worked tremendously hard to put his program together, first for last year's 500, and had a program together for this year's 500. And today it was announced that IMS is going to, in some ways, from thanking you and also because it's the right thing to do and it's a great program, partnering up with the Indiana Donor Network to promote organ, tissue, and eye donation through the Driven to Save Lives program. But first, let's go back. What can you tell us about how this all transpired when you and Stephen first got word that we're going to need your seat, guys?
Well, I think it was pretty clear what kind of the route was going to have to be there in that situation. And it just, from a personal perspective, and obviously I'm biased, I know Stefan is probably the hardest working guy out there. And so we were so thrilled to have all the pieces in place for him to be able to team up with teams such as Andretti and kind of finally, get a crack at the 500, with one of the best teams, if not the best team out there. Mm-hmm. I think first and foremost, I was very proud and happy that, we had the Indiana Donor Network and GapGuard and several other sponsors commit to that program and firmly believing in it. You don't see that many partners come back for second and third years in racing these days. So the fact that all these guys wanted to come back and expand their role this year really meant a lot for us and their belief in Stefan and his program. So kind of once this Alonso thing came about, Stefan's main concern, and I give him a lot of credit for this, his only concern was how do I make sure that the Indiana Donor Network and GapGuard are taken care of and that they get equally, if not more value out of this deal than they would have otherwise. And I know there's a lot of drivers that would have just not cared about any of that. But Stefan being the guy that he is, again, I'm biased, but he wanted that to be the primary thing. So the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and Indiana Donor Network got together with us, and we all sat down and discussed how can we activate the Indiana Donor Network as much as physically possible this year to give them the best value possible and to make sure that the mission of Driven to Save Lives carries on. And I think that's going to be able to do so now in a very fine form.
Now, the question I've been asked several times is, well, all of the seats haven't been finalized. In fact, we still have one more that hasn't been announced. I suspect it's done and we'll get an announcement in the next day or two. But the question was, well, why couldn't he just take his program to Juncos or possibly try to find something else?
Well, you know, you wish it could be that simple where you could just take it anywhere. But really, this program this year was built around and needed it to be an established team. And that was one of the big things that we worked on everyone with. And we wanted to deliver that to the partners. And when it became apparent that we weren't going to be able to deliver that, it was kind of it wasn't even a conversation to be had. It was just, okay, how do we make the most out of this year and then refocus on next year?
How can they help you for next year? Mark Miles has made mention that we're going to try to make this up to Stefan moving forward.
Yeah, and I think there's been a lot of goodwill come towards Stefan ever since this has all transpired. So we're still working on kind of finalizing all the details on how everything's going to look for next year. But obviously, fingers crossed, everything comes together. I know there's a lot of people rooting for Stefan, and we're going to be pushing harder than ever because he deserves to be in a quality ride, and that's what we're going to make sure that he gets in.
You're our Indy Lights analyst for NBCSN. One question on that. Are you even surprised about how good Colton Herta has been at 16 and now 17 years old in the first couple of race weekends?
I don't even know what I really expected. I knew he was going to be mature beyond his years, but I thought he was going to be mature beyond his years and maybe get a podium here and a top five there.
Exactly.
I didn't think he was going to be mature beyond his years and just go out and dominate certain races. I think that's been the big surprise because it's such a tight field now with so many competitive teams with Andretti and Bilardi and what have you. So I think, and Juncos, not to mention. So I think that's been the surprising thing is how strong he's been on street circuits and road courses. And obviously now coming up to the month of May, we'll soon learn how he takes the ovals. But just looking at his pace in the open tests, he's going to be one to look out for on that as well.
I thought he might do it by mid-season, but yeah. The beginning of the season was the shocker.
Is it too early to start thinking that maybe he could be an IndyCar driver next season? Is that outrageous now?
Well, if you had talked to me about that a month ago, I would have said, yeah, absolutely, forget about it. And Brian Herta still maintains, I've talked to him numerous times after his race wins, I've talked to him and he said it's still a two-year program. So in his eyes, and I love that about Brian because he's not putting any results-oriented pressure on Colton whatsoever. He's just letting him do it race by race, and I think mentally that's helping Colton tremendously. And so, no, it's not impossible to think. And Kevin, you and I did the math on the NBCSN broadcast that every Indy Lights champion the last 3 years have won a race at Barber. And so that means it's either Colton Herta or Nico Jameen that should come out as the champion this year. I mean, I know that's a stretch.
Yeah.
But you know, history does tend to repeat itself. And Barber seems to be one of those tracks where if you got it figured out there, then the chances are you're going to be pretty strong for the rest of the year.
Well, this weekend with the IndyCar GP, Indy Lights is a part of that. They have a pair of races. Late Friday afternoon is race number one. That's not going to start until like 5:45, so you could actually go to work Friday, come out and see a good bit of action, IndyCar qualifying before that, and then the Indy Lights race. And then we'll have coverage of Indy Lights race number two, which is early afternoon on Saturday. That will run in a tape delay basis. I'll get you a time when that airs. I think it'll probably be the following weekend or so. It's going to be at least a week or so after that race. But live coverage of the Freedom 100 is a part of Carb Day on NBCSN the Friday before the 500. Anders, again, good work today. Congratulations on a great effort, and I will see you out at the track this weekend.
Sounds good, guys. We'll see you at Indy. It's the month of May. Let's do it.
Yep, no doubt. Anders Krohn from NBCSN. All right, more of your tweets, questions, comments, and more coming up. Trackside 107.5, 1070 The Fan.
You're listening to Trackside with Cabot and Kevin on 1070 The Fan.
More Twitter questions at KevinLee23. Stephen V. King asks, since there are limited engine leases, what happens if someone writes one off in practice qualifying? Then they commence to scrambling.
Yeah, I mean, depends on what you mean by writing one off. I mean, people have backup cars. I mean, it's not like, I mean, who knows? They have three cars. Harding, it's a one-car team, but there's two.
I think they have two cars. It'd be Buddy's team would be the one that, you know, something would have to happen. Yeah, but there are other cars around, so sure. They could lease a car or buy a chassis from somebody else, or somebody else does a favor and they enter a car.
And that happens a lot. Maybe not a lot, but there are a lot of helping each other in the paddock.
Jonathan Parker says, Octagon signage displayed car numbers, running position last year, at least in the North
End. Yeah, I thought so. I thought those were like that, but they're probably more historic now than that structure than futuristic.
Adam Blackburn says, Newgarden with Miller Lite sponsor for $500? He was tweeting a lot about Miller Lite a couple of months ago, but that's a Team Penske NASCAR sponsor. So I have not seen any announcement if that is the case, right? We've not seen any.
No, we just saw the entry list for the IndyCar Grand Prix today. I haven't seen the entry list.
Let me look that up and see what sponsors are attached for that. So it's always possible. I have not heard that that's going to happen as a primary sponsor for him, and it's also possible it could be some type of an associate sponsor since it is a Team Penske sponsorship. But I know, you know, that would be cool to a lot of people. That would bring back some memories. And you like big companies involved. You always like to have big companies involved that can help market what you're doing. Part two of his question is, did Townsend not pursue a drive? I'm going to let Townsend speak for himself on that. In fact, during our Carb Day broadcast, I will ask him that. But I guess I would just say it this way. If Townsend Bell wanted to be in the Indy 500, he'd be in the Indy 500.
Yeah, that's right.
I think is the easiest way to describe that. But I will let him speak to what his IndyCar driving status is. I know he's not a retired race car driver because he's driving in Le Mans again this year and is preparing for that. All right, Joseph is entered for the GP this weekend in the Hum by Verizon Team Penske machine. For the love of Indy, says, where do you think the Grand Prix of Indianapolis ranks as a race drivers want to win? Top five, ?
I think it's the Indianapolis 500 is first, and then everything else is second.
I think Long Beach might be second.
No, I think they want to win every race.
They do.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I don't think they really differentiate. Now, some of them with, maybe we'll say, longer in the tooth become appreciative of Long Beach. I'm not sure that Ed Jones really cares which racetrack it is. No offense.
No, I think you're right. And that goes along with the 500. A lot of guys were asked last year, would it mean more to win the 100th? And no, I'll take any one of them. The 98th will be good. The 101st will be good. Any of them are fine.
And, you know, the only other thing I would say to that is sometimes locations for an American driver means more if you're going to win. For example, when Ryan Hunter-Reay won in Long Beach, It wasn't necessarily that it was Long Beach. It was that he had lived just down the road in Dana Point.
Hinch wins in Toronto.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's some of that goes on.
Thomas Marquis asks, why haven't we seen a new title sponsor for the Grand Prix to replace Angie's List?
Well, it's not an easy proposition. I mean, you don't just go out and get a sponsor. You need the right sponsor. You need somebody to help you and that makes sense for the event and so forth, and the right duration and the right price point, I mean, and right assets. So it isn't just quite that easy.
And Doug Bowles had some quotes in the Star the other day, and that this was not planned. It was an agreement for this year as well, and Angie's List is going through a transition period, and that might have been like October or something
late
like that.
It
wasn't like it was last May, and that's just not enough time to be able to put a deal like that together, and it sounds like that they have made some progress on getting something done for the future.
Yeah, he sounded optimistic in that story. So for 18, not but for 17.
Shane Rogers upshifted. Hello, good morning, Shane.
Hello.
Happy Wednesday morning. keep in mind there are limited leases, but both Chevy and Honda will have enough spare engines to serve the leases. Yeah, no doubt about that. that the engine, they'll have backup engines.
Sure.
It would be if a chassis is destroyed with a team that doesn't have one. But there will be 33 cars. That's just, there will be 33 cars. They will figure out a way to get it done no matter what happens. That is going to be the standard as we move forward. Lee Ray or Rhea asks, are there age restrictions for Free Garage Friday, taking my son to IMS? Is there a Free Garage Friday this Friday?
Yeah, yes? I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what has it been? It's been 12. For other races, that's more of an IMS question. I would tweet at IMS.
Well, we can find that out.
We had someone that worked in communications, but he works on the IndyCar side, not the IMS side.
That's one of those you should have sent it to me this afternoon, or at least an hour
ago.
Well,
it was sent 3 minutes ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So find that out.
I would ask the question.
But questions like that, always at IMS, that's going to be more official than us because, well, then they're still going to have to ask somebody. Then they're going to ask you, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to ask me.
They're going to ask Alex, right?
Well,
that's the IndyCar. That's the IMS side of things.
Look, we're all one team here. I hadn't thought to ask that question. And there are still a lot of questions that I'm still, you know, coming to the realization that I need to know. Because when you're writing for a newspaper, you're not quite as worried about, you know, who's getting in and who's getting out.
Correct.
You know?
I have a question that I don't see it, but I remember seeing this on my feed at some point. Someone asking me, are they not doing the big party on Main Street the Friday of GP weekend like they had been doing at the time when I saw this? Boy, I haven't seen anything about it. Well, I saw a tweet last night, and then I took my little picture of it and saved it. It looks like there is something going on this Friday night on Main Street. In fact, I think maybe Sarah Fisher's place is the one that retweeted this. It's called Racing Through the Decades. This Friday from 6 to 9 on Main Street in Speedway, drink specials, live music, kids activities with a number of different establishments, including the 1911 Grill, which is the restaurant at Sarah Fisher's karting place. What is SKI?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dawson's on Main is also involved. Daredevil Brewing, O'Reilly's Barbecue and Bourbon, Mr. Lino's, Big Woods, the Foyt Wine Vault, Yoga Lots, the Famous Soda and Candy Company, all are going to be involved. Each location will honor a different decade. They did that last year.
That's right.
In racing with cars, music, and vintage glassware as well. So that's Friday night, 6 to 9. I think last I saw, Friday, maybe a little rain in the morning, but Friday afternoon, evening, the weather looks really good, and Saturday's weather looks really good the last I saw. So that could be
Fingers crossed, really
fun event this weekend. Doug Canop, oh, looks like we answered this one last night. Any talk of new tracks for IndyCar for 18 and beyond? We discussed that. There's a motorsport.com article, so you can look at that. And then part two, he says, any talk of returning to former tracks with the new car, i.e. Dover or Richmond?
Yeah, I haven't heard any of that. That doesn't mean it can't happen. In fact, Miles shared some information that I hadn't been updated on, so I'm sure he has new information along the way, but I've not heard Dover or Richmond. Richmond's the one that really would like to have gone back to, and that's a local decision on whether or not they want to pursue a race. Again, IndyCar doesn't go out. We've said this for the 10 years we've done this show. IndyCar doesn't go out and say to a track like Richmond, hey, we'd like to come there. What date can we have? It kind of works the other way around. It's like being invited to a party and you show up and bring the fun.
What I wonder about, and Richmond is one that a lot of us would like to go back to, and we've heard people asking about it. I think that there has been some interest, but what kind of level, I don't know. But, you know, and then I see the kind of crowd they had for the Cup race a couple of weeks ago. That makes me think, well, if they can only draw 30,000 or so for the Cup race, I don't know if that helps. They say we need more events, or, boy, we've got something going on. What's going on with racing fans in this area? Because that was a racetrack that drew crowds for everything for a long time.
I think the problem was there's been three races in that area within the last 5 weeks. Bristol,
Martinsville, and then Richmond, all with it pretty close to each other within the last month and a half.
Keep in mind that the race at Richmond from the IndyCar side benefited greatly from the support that Philip Morris, which was based in the community and obviously had very rich Team Penske ties. That was an important race for Philip Morris, which was a driving factor in attracting the race in the first place.
So we'll stand by, but you know, as we've talked about last night, it sounds they've got several options for next year, and you're kind of up against it that adding more than one would be very, very difficult to do.
Well, I think Mark Miles has said, one would be the addition, not two or three. I mean, I think he is on record saying that. So, you got to find the right one. I mean, I don't sit here with a preference for any of the four that he laid out, other than, you know, Portland is one I heard for a long time was a great place, and I never got to go in the Champ Car days. But any one of the four, if it makes the right business sense and the fan base is receptive, it's fine with me, but it has to be the right choice.
We're out of time.
Has to be a long-term project. Sure. I mean, you can't do it and just go 1 year. I mean, that's happened on occasion, and that's not good for anybody.
We'll try again tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. One guest already scheduled. I've had people ask me, what happened to R.C. Enerson? He did so well in his IndyCar opportunities last year and has not had a ride this year. So we will ask R.C. what's going on with his career. And keep in mind, he just turned 20 years old, so there's plenty of future for him. So he'll tell us what's going on tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Now, all lines are open. It's your cue to call in. The Talk of Gasoline Alley with Donald Davidson is next. 317-239-1070. Thanks to Anders Krohn. Thank you, Kurt. Safe travels home.
Yeah, I hope we do okay.
And we'll see you tomorrow night here on 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.